All right, we've got all the paperwork out of the way. It's time to talk a little preseason rankings when it comes to ACC football. Just where does Florida State sit? Maybe at the top. Who sits at the bottom? We're all going to talk about everyone in between because it's going to be an up and down year, but no divisions is going to make it superb. All of those thoughts on today's show.
You are Locked On ACC, your daily podcast on the Atlantic Coast Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to today's edition of Locked On ACC. I'm your host, Candace Cooper, joined by Kenton Gibbs. Each and every day, you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. More importantly, you can download, subscribe to our YouTube channel to make sure that you're locked in with our community, answer our daily polls and what have you, and make sure that you are always tuned in that audio space. Kenton and I are going to go through a very fun Athlon Sports top way too early ACC football predictions of 2023. 1-14, and I'm ready to roll. Kenton, how are we feeling?
I'm feeling great. Let's get into it. Let's talk about these all ACC teams because, boy, there are some absolute doozies on here. So let's get into it.
So this football prediction is a 2023 season ending. Who's the top dog? Who's at the bottom? And listen, all those in between. Athlon Sports' Steven Lassen gave us a nice little headway into what would be a very good and interesting conversation starter. So number one out the gate, let's preview this. 2022, the Clemson Tigers won the ACC championship, and it was pretty much a doozy between Clemson and North Carolina. There are no longer divisions in the ACC, the Atlantic versus the Coastal. That does not exist. It'll be the top two teams in said division at the end of the year, and the persons that Athlon Sports feel like are going to be at the top will be Florida State Seminoles, coming off of a really strong season, some pretty good non-conference games, had some injuries that, you know, hindered them towards the end there, but were able to rally the troops and now are looking in Mike Norvell's fourth year to be the top dog, led by quarterback Jordan Travis, who is going to be on a tear, Trey Benson as well, and Mr. Johnny Wilson, who is that tight end that everyone has come to know and love.
Johnny Wilson is a bad man, right? That is an absolutely massive wide receiver who can fly. Being as big as he is one thing, but being able to have, he's leaving speed with those long strides and the ability to hop on the ball, whew, what a time. But I could see why there's a prediction for Florida State to win it all. Not sure if I trust Norvell to do so, but we shall see.
I think also having Jared Verse decide to forgo going to the NFL and stay for another year is very telling of where Norvell has brought these guys, right? How committed they are to his program and to his system and what they're trying to do. And I think we've talked about for the past couple of years, Jordan Travis really being that leader. Past couple of years, he's really had the opportunity to be QB1 without there being all of that controversy. Shout out to our guy. What was his name? McKenzie Milton, there it was. Yeah, once upon a time, right? So now you have Jordan Travis leading and focusing on having a Heisman-like type of season, which he's going to have, especially with the way the ACC is portrayed in the media. He's going to have to be top-notch, but it'll beg the case and maybe even argue for them, you know, Florida State Seminoles, of why they need to be in a different conference.
I mean, I don't think anything Florida State can do this year would argue whether or not they belong in a different conference. I think that that's a financial conversation, which is a very different one from the on-the-field conversation, which, by the way, Florida State fans in the comments, I don't know why they seem to have an inability to separate those two conversations in terms of like, oh, are you a financial driver? And, oh, have you won championships recently? But those are two different conversations, friends. So with that being said, there's nothing on the field that they could do that I would say like, hey, their dominance has exuded that they belong in a different conference. Unless they win every game in a similar fashion to how UCF did it in the American Conference a few years ago, where their average margin of victory, I believe, was 25 or something like that. Like, unless they do something like that, there's nothing else that Florida State could do that would say like, hey, if this was a relegation system or whatever, they would need to be going up to a new league.
I think it gets very commendable for Coach Mike Norvell. You know, a couple seasons ago, we had fire Norvell as a Twitter chat, or what was it called?
Trending on Twitter.
Yes, it was trending on Twitter. No, it was, you know, the conversation, the little chit-chat that they had on Twitter.
Oh, Twitter Spaces.
Twitter Spaces. Yeah. It was Twitter Space, you know, and then went viral. He was even in the chat and all the things. And to go from that to potentially being a top five team in the country says a lot about where he can overcome adversity and all of that fun stuff. But we'll be unique to see if Florida State can pull it off. They will have a very formidable foe in the Clemson Tigers, who have dominated the ACC. Coach Dabo Sweeney doesn't have a QB issue. We all know that is going to be Cade Klubnik. Now that you don't have that issue, can you find ways to allow Lincoln Riley to kind of thrive, or not Lincoln, but Coach Riley, Garrett Riley, to thrive in that system? He is Lincoln Riley's brother, but thrive in that system with Cade and make sure that Will Shipley is nice and healthy. He had a interesting spring, which kind of give his knee a little bit of a rest. But I think that it's going to be very interesting how defensively they had some, you know, issues or struggles. So they say still a very quality program. Offensively, they said they had some issues, whatever they say. They still won 10 games. 10 games is a bad season for Clemson now. That's the standard there for them. National championship or bust, certainly the energy for it. But I think this is the year that you have no excuse. I think DJ was your fall guy, and now if that doesn't kind of pan out for you, if you're not as successful, then it's where are we looking?
Absolutely. And I would take it a step further and say that Clemson has had that level of dominance that they could say, hey, we belong in another level, or we belong in a better conference based on our play. Clemson is the only school in this conference that, based on their play, based on what they've done in the past decade or so, have a claim to that. With that being said, this Clemson team is starting to look human. This, that the orange helmet with the paw is starting to strike less fear than it did in previous years. So can Clemson regain that form and regain that glory and say, hey, I know that we had a quote unquote down year, but our down year is still something all of you would pray for. Most of your fan bases, 10 wins and the conference championship, most of your fan bases would hang a banner. Y'all would love this team forever and bring them back every 5 to 10 years to trot them out and say, hey, look, the team that did da-da-da-da-da. So can they return to form and show not only was that a down year, but we are exactly who y'all thought we were 2 years ago.
The loss of Miles Murphy and Brian Brissy was certainly going to hurt the Clemson Tigers. But I do have good news, faithful news for Tigers fans. There is a new Locked On Clemson network. We have a new show. Make sure you guys check that out. Our boy Damian Pearson, he is leading the charge on that one. So we'll have to have him here this season to talk through. It's been a nice addition between, you know, just some of our more, you know, what I call it, zealous fan bases. We have Clemson, Miami's of the world, Florida State's of the world, and all the likes. So seeing Clemson get a little nod of their own, and shout out to our guy again, Damian, the Locked On Clemson podcast. Make sure you guys check that out. We have the number three team here before we get ready to talk to you about some FanDuel action. Drake May is back as the prolific North Carolina starting quarterback. Sophomore slump, we're not even going to breathe that into existence, because Chip Lindsey is going to make sure it happens for my guy. I'm not even worried. I have no expectations, and I think that's what's going to bring me joy at night.
Yeah, you should. And yeah, that will bring you joy. That will bring you joy, because honestly and truly, I'm looking at this schedule, and like I said, Mac Brown complaining before the season even started.
Don't even bring it up no more.
Not a great sign.
Get a new point. Give me a new point. But with
that being said, okay, sure. How do I put this? So yeah, Drake May is, he was predicted to go like top five in almost every, I looked up, I want to say 12 or so mock drafts. He was predicted to go top five in all of them. And I said, wow, that's interesting. I wonder how this year without divisions will affect that. Because here's the thing for him. He has, and as much as I like to give the Tar Heels a little hell here and there, he has an opportunity in front of him that is splendiferous, if you will. Why do I say that? if he holds anywhere near what he was last year with a quote unquote lesser supporting cast, oh boy, oh boy. There is no doubt in anybody's mind. Every knee must bow and tongue must confess that that is a bad man that is going to be the face of somebody's franchise for the next 10 years. However, there's also the possibility that, when you don't got that same coastal loving on you for 8 weeks or so out of the season.
So was every coastal defense terrible?
A lot of them were.
Okay.
A lot of them were.
I just want to make sure we're clear here.
Yeah, a lot of the defenses were
terrible, and that's the reason why he shined so brightly.
I'll just say this, mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. We're looking at the defenses that he absolutely lit up, right? We talk about the defenses that he absolutely lit up. Mm-hmm. I would say of the defenses, I'm going to name the defense that he lit up, and you tell me if you think it's a good defense or not. Florida A&M.
Mm-hmm. Not a good defense.
Okay, App State.
Halfway decent. Mm-hmm.
App State's a halfway decent. Okay. Georgia State.
Mm-mm.
Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia Tech.
Mm-mm.
Miami.
No.
Duke.
Yes.
Pitt.
Yes.
Virginia.
No.
Wake Forest.
Yes. No.
And he looked pedestrian, to say the least, against Georgia Tech, NC State, Notre Dame, and Oregon.
He did not look pedestrian against Oregon. You take that back right now. Pedestrian, bro.
Hold on. Let me take that back. He looked pedestrian in the first three. The game against Oregon, he looked good. He did not look like a Heisman candidate, though. Can we agree to that? He looked good, but not like a Heisman candidate.
Did I say he was a Heisman candidate?
No, but I'm saying if we're talking about teams that he lit up, and I'm saying, okay, let me rephrase that. I came into this saying he has
came
the
in
opportunity.
He came in hot.
I came in saying he has the opportunity to be the face of somebody's franchise for the next 10 years. Yes or no?
Yeah.
And so if I'm judging these games by – if in watching what I've seen, is this a guy that I look at and say, boy, if my Lions get him, they're lucky for the next 10 years. In those last four games, I didn't see one.
I mean,
am I wrong? Did you see any game? Did you see any game where you thought, if my Giants get him, Danny Dimes, get out. I don't want nothing with you.
I'd rather have Drake than Danny, but that's one. Two, the man is a freshman. He's a freshman. Yeah.
Yes, it's Danny. Never mind.
If we're willing to give Mitch Trubisky a try, then we can give Drake a day.
When he got drafted, there were plenty of people up in arms like, are y'all smoking the pipe? You are doing something that involves a glass and heat. We know that much. This is not something you should be doing. And lo and behold, all these years later, we see that the Bears were wrong. They were extremely wrong. There were four better quarterbacks, at least three, that are coming to the top of mind right now, drafted right behind him.
Okay. Thank you so much for that edification. Are you done dumping on North Carolina? Are they the third best team here in the ACC?
I would say no.
This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Okay, make every moment more when you hit up our friends at FanDuel. It's always a pleasure when we have them across the way. But beyond that, ladies and gentlemen, I have to say, when it comes to FanDuel, you can make a fast break into the NBA playoffs. We can shout out to the Nuggets for getting it done against Kenton's LeBron Lakers, because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. So if you thought LeBron was going to come back and not get swept in the playoffs, I hope you cashed in. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sports book. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Love a little LeBron jab for Kenton. It makes my day. All right. Number four, NC State. Maybe this is why he's so bitter, because Athlon Sports gave this ACC prediction, football prediction, and North Carolina's number three, and right behind them at number four is NC State. Two teams that clearly don't want to be a part of the ACC, but somehow, some way, find themselves here. Wolfpack have won at least 8 games in 5 out of the last 6 seasons. They have lost quite a bit to the league. Peyton Wilson is returning. Will that be enough? You also have your guy, Brennan Armstrong, going to do the old, give the old final college try here before he lets it go. And, you know, they let go of our guy, Tim Beck, and got you some new offensive coordination. So we're good to go.
Yeah, should be. I'm not so sure. Not so sure if this is the 4th best team in the conference. And I know people are going to get upset at me for that. I know Wolfpack fans in particular. But there are a lot of question marks. There are a lot of question marks. This offensive line looked god-awful when Grant Gibson went down. They didn't look bad. It was tough to watch at times how this offensive line looked against any serviceable defense after Grant Gibson went down. Not only that, you lose the running back that you would have assumed would have been the running back number one in Demi Sumo, who is headed to Kentucky to reunite with his old quarterback in Devin Leary. And, of course, you lose Devin Leary as well. You know, you say to Brennan Armstrong is just, hey, this is a great fill-in because he and his he and Robert and I have a peaches and herb thing going on, and they're reunited and it feels so good. Great for them. But there's a lot of questions. You lose your top 2 receivers as well. You lose 2 of the 3 linebackers that made a prolific linebacking core last year. You bring back a lot of the secondary, which is good. But, you know, this is a team with a lot of variables. Now, if they're at their ceiling, could they be the 4th, maybe even 3rd best team in the conference? Absolutely. I could see them potentially even getting higher than that ceiling-wise, but I'm not sure if they're the 4th best team in the conference at the moment.
Why wouldn't they be, considering everyone talked about the fact that divisions was the biggest hurdle for teams like NC State, Boston College, Florida State? They couldn't get past that monkey of Clemson. They had to hurdle through Wake Forest. So now that you're losing that matchup, why wouldn't you put NC State at the top?
I mean, I'm a huge believer in, like, you can say that all you want, but at the end of the day, you still got to go out there and play football. Like, this year's schedule is actually very favorable for NC State. Like, it is very, very favorable for NC State.
Cupcake, if you will.
I wouldn't say cupcake. I wouldn't go that far. But it's a schedule that pans out in a way that you should be able to get something done here. But at the end of the day, you still got to put on those pads. You still got to strap on your big boy pads and go do what you do on the field. So it's really interesting and weird to see NC State taking this upward trajectory this offseason. I'm doing this the wrong way. Upward trajectory this offseason, where it started off where everybody was like, oh, this team, they're going to be depleted and down bad and downtrodden. And then after the spring game, it was really bad because everybody's, Brennan Armstrong is washed. Look at him. 50% completion percentage and da-da-da-da-da. Forgetting that NC State has some of the best, the best corner in the ACC, according to On3 and all that, and Aiden White and whatnot. But it's been interesting to see this ascension that is seemingly coming out of nowhere.
You know, I rooted for NC State to win the ACC last year, and they are not going to trick me twice. So I'm just going to let it rock. And here we are with number 5 on the prediction list of Athlon Sports, Louisville. Okay, the Cardinals, they said Jeff Brohm has been a great hire in addition. Malik Cunningham is going to be replaced, but no sweat off their back because former Purdue and California quarterback Jack Plummer could be the replacement. All right. I mean, you're going to lose some of your best defenders in Yaya Diaby, Yasir Abdullah, and Keycho Clark, but you know, hey, top 5. I see it. I see the vision.
I was just about to say, for those of you who are only listening and not watching, Candace shook her head afterwards because she does not, in fact, see the vision.
I don't see the vision. That's very bold of them.
But I'll tell you this. This is somebody kind of has to creep up in this area. And I feel like Louisville was given that like mantle of like, hey, somebody has to be good. Somebody has to figure it out and has to work their way in here. And if somebody's going to do it, guess it's going to be Louisville. But I will say this, for as much as I've said that, Dino Babers needs to enjoy his last year up in Syracuse, this is a spot where I could have saw them at. This is a spot where I could have saw them, depending on if you like them and what they're bringing back and their weapons. If you like Schrader and Aronde a lot, I could have seen it. I could have seen if you like their defense, which is, again, a very unorthodox defense, but it presents problems for some teams. If you like them a lot, I could
you
see
you got to be the most fair weather switcheroo mofo I ever done met. Now,
I'm going to tell you this.
I'm going to tell you this.
Mm-hmm. I will admit that I have been very tough on Syracuse. I have been very tough on Syracuse.
Insanely very tough. You owe a lot of apologies.
Very. Oh, no. I don't owe an apology until they play some football. But
they won six games.
Anywho, I don't owe them an apology until they play some football this year. What I will say, is this, upon watching more, and I went back because I said to myself, I need to rewatch this thing because is Schrader much worse to me in my mind than like he actually is? And I watched him, and it was a lot of the same thing that I saw with some other quarterbacks that shall not be named, that they were good against bad defenses. And then all of a sudden when they ran into good defenses, things got a little hairy. But
are you trying to say Drake May?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. We ain't in kindergarten. Great. Put it out there.
Okay.
Put your whole chest.
Absolutely. Oh, okay. Let me go ahead and put my whole chest
into
it.
Buck up.
Yeah. So I think that Schrader also struggled with that a little bit, but like with Drake May, I see the vision. I see an opportunity.
You are comparing Drake May and Gary Schrader.
Oh my God. I am comparing them because they both had really good games against really bad defenses, and then against good defenses, it was And
who
Schrader
to
had
put
the added
pipe down.
Schrader had the added effect of having an injury that had him out for a little bit before he came back at the end of the season. That like, oh, it makes sense that you're struggling. Granted, Josh Downs being hurt at the end of last year didn't help at all for Drake May, but you get my point. Both of them had. Okay, of course you don't. Of course you don't. Long story short, what I'm saying is they both had this thing where they look good against bad defenses, against better defenses. They struggled a bit. They struggled a little bit.
That's crazy. And somehow, some way, it's like you can't help yourself. It's to catch North Carolina to catch a stray when it comes to your analysis. Either way it goes, will Louisville be a top five team? Absolutely not. But
I don't see it.
What makes for great television popcorn ready type of action. We only want to give you top five today. I don't even feel like going over the rest of the list. I think we need to spread this thing out because I want to get full analysis and time. We're not going to be able to go through all 14 in 30 minutes. And I don't want people to get slighted when they hear their team called. So we're going to get to the middle of the pack.
Oh, they're going to feel slighted. It's going to be some people calling us clueless and idiots and everything under the sun except good Christians, and that's all right. That's okay.
So we're going to talk 6 through 10 because I think, honestly, the number 6 team that they have on Athlon's list deserves to be in the top 5 conversation.
Let's talk about it.
So we're going to talk about that on tomorrow's show, 6 through 10, and then we'll hit you with 11 through 14, and we'll round out this bad boy. But when it's all said and done, make sure you download, subscribe to the podcast, part of any show on the Locked On Podcast Network will do you a favor. Again, we mentioned Locked On Clemson is a new show. Make sure you check out all of our Locked On College Channel shows. If you want to get a little comparison, Big Ten, they got a lot to talk about over there. I already heard the article. Maybe we'll do a little Wednesday wind down where we just read the comments from Kenton's episode because people was in their feelings, boy. I'm trying to tell you, anytime Ken get on that mic, somebody got something to say.
Well, you know, in the words of one Kanye West, I'd be worried if they said nothing. You know, I'd be worried if they said nothing. Everybody's going to say something. I'd be worried if they said nothing.
20 comments later, we might have to go ahead and just break some things down. But, you know, that's what makes for great YouTube. Make sure you download, subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify. We really appreciate 5-star reviews, nothing less. And you can also just subscribe, download your episodes, and give us some love whenever you feel like it. For Candace Cooper and Kenzie Gibbs, we'll talk about it all tomorrow. Very interesting times here with maybe the Blue Devils. Till next time.